All right, all right. I am back. I've got a small issue. I think I'm dragging something in my car. I'm gonna wait for the noise to stop or continue. I don't know. Yeah, I was dragging like a branch. It just popped out. Anyways. Welcome back. I'm gonna get this episode started. I'll probably wrap it up late tonight. You know how it goes. I got a lot to talk about. Well, let's get started. First and foremost, last night was November, or right now it's actually like November 10, about 5:30 in the evening. You know, as your host here, your boy, the D is silent. Anyways. I want to talk a little bit about Miss the Marvels and Loki's, just for starters. And then moving on to what I'm gonna come back and do this episode. So, anyways, the Marvels just came out. I know it's getting a lot of flack, but I think that's from just a lot of internet trolls. I like the movie. I thought actually it was a really good. This should have been part one. Like part one, Captain Marvel should have been, it should have been kind of like a Disney Plus special, but that was before their time, and this should have been Captain Marvel one. But I understand they put her out before Endgame and all that. Now, the movie to me is good. It's not the greatest Marvel movie, but it's definitely not the weakest one. I still hold Iron Man 3 up there as being one of the weaker ones that had nothing to do with nothing and it was just there. Kind of put that with like Thor Dark World. There's a couple of them. But this is by no means in that level. I think it's up there in the upper middle tier, like up there with, you know, like Doctor Strange one. You gotta put it with I gotta put it with like Iron Man maybe one. I gotta put it with Captain America one. Like it was a great I think this was a great intro, like this should have been a great part one. Instead, it was a part two, and albeit a little short. That's my one complaint against the whole movie, was it was like fast. Like, it maybe that was by design, because although they had dialogue between each other and a lot of, you know, I really feel that they sped it up like in a such a way that, you know, it didn't leave parts in there to bore people. It didn't leave parts in there either to really, you know, like, I don't know, like to have dumb moments. Now there was a lot to me. This probably was a more well-rounded movie. And it, like I said, it was fast paced. It doesn't mean that it was by any means bad, or that they didn't have funny or cheesy dialogue in there somewhere. They did a little bit, but I actually think the dialogue and the between the characters themselves was actually really good. Again, I think what it lacks is they needed more, a little bit more time. So that obviously is taking a point off of it. Another point, I think the villain actually played a tremendous role in the movie. I wish they would have given her a little bit more oomph. Like she could have used within like another 10 minutes herself of her conquest and destruction and maybe the destruction of Hala. And all of that is just to me is like that aspect of it was a little bit too rushed. Maybe they'll go back to it. You know, I'm not exactly sure. Marvel's game plan for the Skrulls, and other things. It's just like, it's like, okay, it's what it is. So, with all that said, I'm going to tell you the absolute positive. The fighting in the movie, top tier. This is top tier action fighting. The action is on par with the fighting between Spectrum, Ms. Marvel, and Captain Marvel versus the main villain. I forget her name. And that's just sad because the girl played a fantastic job at the villain. But again, they kind of defeated her and beat her like really quick. Whether that was by design or not, I don't know. Maybe they just did not feel like a 2-hour movie people were going to be sitting through it, listening to girls. But I mean, there was plenty. This was a heavy, heavy female driven movie. And again, I don't know if it was by design. They were saying, you know what, let's just cut out all dialogues and let's not get too fancy with it. And let's have a lot of action that way. And I kind of felt like that is exactly what they were going for. And to me, they achieved it. I think going back, you know, if we're flash forward into 8 years from now, going back to watch this movie is going to be a really good movie. Because you, again, you have like 6 different like characters in it, all interacting with each other. You know, Nick Fury, you've got, you know, the three plus the villain plus, you know, the prince of, I think it's Alagard or whatever it is. They've got Skrulls in there. This is a comic book movie. I don't care what anybody says. Like, this is more comic book accurate than, you know, like, any some of the other movies that they be putting out. Like, this is more comic book accurate. And then, as is custom to Marvel, I don't know if there was one way at the end of the movie, the mid credit scene, which I'm not exactly sure is the middle credits or the end credits. I might have to look online and see if there was one, how many credit end credits there were. Maybe I'll go watch it again because I actually liked it. Maybe I'll just go watch it at my local $7 movie theater. Because I'm only going to watch this and Godzilla the rest of the way. And I think that's it. I'm vaguely intrigued by Hunger Games. Because I actually liked the 4 Hunger Game movies that are leading up to this new one. But I feel like they're going to tarnish it. But that's another debate for another story. Anyways. Willy Wonka, Aquaman, no, doesn't move the needle for me either. You know, there's several things coming out this year that just like, they don't really move the needle. Anyways, getting back to Ms. Marvel here. Again, the post credits or the end credit movie, the very first one is Ms. Marvel goes and tracks down Kate Bishop, which they're finally. They're going to assemble a team. Finally. And honestly, I've been waiting for it just to get it started. The MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, and Sony and Fox, I don't think Fox has any rights to them anymore, but there's something happening in not only Hollywood, but in just movie making in general. It's becoming a sort of thing. And I know like the universe building that's already been going on, but there's something going on where, okay, the multiverse or transdimensional topics, how can they get like multiple variations of the same character in one movie? And Marvel, I think, is now poised to be the one that leads and paves the way Hollywood forward, how to do it and how to do it right. And this is long since, like, I mean, this has long since been the case. They've been working on it actually for a little bit, but this is long in Hollywood. I think they tried it a long time ago because I just watched something about Universal's Monster Universe, like back in like the black and white days. And every time they reboot, a lot of franchises reboot in hopes, because a lot of, like for instance, if you were like, let's say, Legendary, and you had the property to 300 sitting on your, that's your baby. That movie came out like 20 some years ago now. It came out a while ago. After so many years go by, they make another one because they have to, or they lose the rights, or they forfeit the rights. And their companies don't really want to forfeit. But they, like, how do you make a brand new 300? These are something that, because Marvel has now had a very long run at the box office, and now they're poised to make a very another long very another very long run. But people still are attracted to the nostalgia. How do we get the old with the new is what the thing is. And what better way to do it than to try to wrap people's heads around a multiverse, variants. It's a lot of new lingo, and I think that's kind of confusing a lot of people. Like, Spider-Man No Way Home, I think Marvel took that and was like, yes, this is how we're going to do it. And for Marvel's perspective, they had to bring back those old X-Men. There's a lot of X-Men characters. How do they interact with the new ones? They took a stab at it with Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. They took a baby stab there, and then this is another stab at it again in Captain Marvel. Although Captain Marvel's movie, I think if they would have gone 10 minutes into it again, it probably would have served justice a little bit better. Again, I feel like this movie, not that it clipped its wings, because I really feel that there's a lot to love about the movie. Actually, there was a lot of creativity, and I honestly say I think Marvel is, and the directors absolutely fucking knocked it out of the park. If I'm sitting back, if I'm the CEO of Disney, Marvel does not have princess figure like Jasmine, like Ariel, like Belle, like, all the ones that come up to this. They inserted Captain Marvel, a princess Captain Marvel, Princess Marvel in the movie. And actually, it works. Because I could see them pulling from that going forward and for a very long time. And that's why this movie, again, it's going to be like this movie, I think. Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, I think even Thor a little bit, Love and Thunder, where initially is kind of, people had like very mixed reviews of it. But in the long run, I think Disney's like game planning, like people were going to remember that Princess Marvel made an appearance, and where's her story at? People are going to want to know the story as it goes on. And now that can be sold as a doll. It can be sold. Brie Larson, very smart as well. Like, I see. I don't know if she liked it or she went along with it, or. But I think as far as the business goes, even though that was not a focal point of the movie, it was just a variation. We got to see. Now we've seen Captain Marvel a few different styles. We've had her with long hair. We've had her with short hair. We've had her with the helmet. She was known as the Annihilator. Again, this movie, I think, is missing about 15 minutes of movie. I don't know if it was because of the strikes, or maybe, Marvel was just trying to keep things under budget and not do too much. Maybe it was this, maybe it was that. But I think it's missing about 10 to 15 minutes, or they could have elaborated on things a little bit and then taken the story even a little bit further and just add a little dashes of movie in and out of the movie. Just like some seasoning on it. So I don't know if this movie was like an hour and 20 minutes. You know, whatever. I don't know what it was. You know, could have been an hour and it could have been an hour and 40 minutes. And I think it would have been better for what they were going for. But again, that doesn't take away from the movie. I'm not familiar with a lot of Marvel characters because I've been playing Marvel Snap and I have a book and a Marvel Encyclopedia for whatever reason to have it. You know, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, I got introduced to Moon Knight since then. You know, Nick Fury as being a sniper. I mean, I've been building up. I knew who Spectrum was before she even dropped into this movie. Since WandaVision, I was like, okay, Monica Rambeau, like, how did she get her powers? And boom, I was like, okay, when she crossed through the hex, she comes out as Spectrum. Now, we've got to see her in action. And now I'm like, okay, she has the powers to see, she can seal off. I mean, the Spectrum's got some serious powers there. I mean, if you didn't already notice, Captain Marvel was already very powerful. Ms. Marvel is also very powerful. And you put Spectrum in the mix, and they just barely grazed, and that they just barely showed the tip of the iceberg of her potential. They're just the tip. This was just like something they concocted on the fly. Their plan to close the rips, and she was strong enough to do it. Imagine what could be if she needs to put on a gauntlet of sorts and absorb universal energy. I think it can go bigger. And I think her coupled with Captain Marvel in other characters of the nature that have deal with magical energy or some sort of light energy. They name dropped Nova, which was, again, piqued my interest. I was like, no, you know, Blue Marvel is out there as well. Like, there's things out there that I'm like, okay, like the little Easter eggs. They didn't mention Blue Marvel, but they didn't mention Nova. And I was like, oh, fuck, let's go. Like, Ms. Marvel is already a mutant. Let's go. Like, you know, she's a mutation. Like, let's fucking go. Yeah, it was just, you know, the movie to me was two thumbs up. I mean, it wasn't no 10 out of a 10 movie, but it wasn't like a 60% like Rotten Tomatoes is giving it. I give it right there in the 7.5 to 8. This was definitely the best Captain Marvel project so far. And I gotta give the kudos to whoever the stunt doubles were, and that was top tier fighting. I haven't seen fist fighting like that. You know, Endgame had it a little bit. So did Infinity War. And before that, prior to that, I think the best hand to hand combat was Winter Soldier or Civil War. Marvel is good at that too. I don't really know who they got on their team, but every fight scene needs to have like three or four combatants in it, and have the dude that the stuntman, that they need to give them a raise. I remember that like some of the fight scenes harken back to me when Iron Man was getting jumped by Captain America and the Winter Soldier, and, you know, Bucky. It reminded me of fights of when Bucky was fighting Captain America and Black Widow on the streets, you know, with the Falcon right there. Like, to me, that kind of reminds me of all that, like, in, you know, the end battles in Endgame. It kind of reminded me of that. And I was like, yo, the ragdoll effects on the bodies, superb. It didn't look fake, it didn't look cheesy. The girls in the movie went hard. Brie, you know, went hard. I mean, again, kudos to the actors for going there. Hats off for going there. I mean, most of the guys are not going to respect it because it's a female-led movie. But I don't think that's actually going to stop guys from watching the movie. I think actually the movie will do well in the long run. You know, people will stream it eventually and just watch the fuck out of it because it's a good movie. But getting past that, Ms. Marvel's out recruiting Kate Bishop for some new Avengers. I'm excited for it. Finally, we're getting the team up. Or an assembly of a team. Again, my long stretch of theory is I think everybody's getting it wrong. Maybe the Kang Dynasty or Secret Wars is going to end the old heads and leave just the young Avengers to try to fix what's wrong with everything. And the young Avengers would have been young Avengers long enough to be into the old Avengers or Avengers. And I think, you know, Captain Marvel and so many other people are going to meet their demise at some point. And some of them won't come back. Some of them will just not come back. Some of them will forever be gone. Like, you know, they'll just be out of the picture. So that was good to see. And then the big one for me, I don't know if there's one at the very, 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 very end of the credits because I had to take a piss so bad. But I was like, I know there's this credit scene, at least a mid-credit scene. Spectrum closes the rip in the space jumps that exist. But in doing so, she gets trapped on another reality. They ripped open. The Avengers are spending a lot of time closing rips in space and time and getting to other realities. The Spectrum ended. What I'm assuming is the original X-Men universe into what was once the Fox. So I think Spectrum has a very good chance of ending up in Deadpool 3. As a matter of fact, I'm almost counting on it. You know, and I think that's going to lead to Secret Wars, actually. The X-Men. I think the swapping of characters, I'm expecting too in Deadpool that somebody swaps over into the MCU. Could be Deadpool. I don't really know if Wolverine is going, they're going to allow him to hop over just yet. I think Wolverine's in for like two more movies, at least, maybe three. And in such a fashion and that he will eventually hand the reins off to a younger Wolverine himself or X-23, you know, and eventually, and that's exactly the plan for Marvel is we're going to eventually have to say goodbye. People already said goodbye to Robert, but I know we can bring him back in a capacity, but somebody going to have to take the reins of being Iron Man. Somebody had to take the reins of being the new Wolverine, you know. Some old tired characters like Jean Grey, you know, Magneto, Charles. I mean, they have two versions of Charles already. They can go for a second or possibly third. And this is what Marvel is trying to weave very carefully, because you want to do it justice. You don't want to have just a brand new Wolverine coming out of nowhere without paying respect to the old Wolverine that is still alive. Hugh Jackman is still alive. Anyways. I believe Spectrum ended up in whatever universe that the X-Men 1, 2, and 3, X2, X3, with Hugh Jackman as a young. I think she ends up there because the Beast is very, very similar to the Beast that once was, that everybody remembers. And the Spectrum that exists in that universe, I'm not sure if it's Spectrum or Captain or another version of Captain Marvel, but I think it's a Spectrum part two. So they're gonna have to learn. I hope that the Spectrum from the MCU's universe ends up in Deadpool 3. And I hope that's where she went, and that they're going to bring those two. Hopefully they bring those two franchises to collide and heads up. Hey, nothing. I would love nothing better to see Beast take on the Hulk. You know, Cyclops versus the new Captain America. I would love nothing better than to see something like that. There's a $2 billion movie just sitting there. And honestly, they have to cook to get to there. They have to cook. They got to gather the ingredients. You can't have the Thanksgiving feast until you build up some ingredients. This was never going to work for Marvel if they did not get out all these properties, show who the Skrull were, show this, show that. These people have a movie. Ant-Man have a movie. They got, you know, Thor. You know, and before I even jump over to Loki, as I finish Captain Marvel, I mean, Marvel is now, there's no turning back. They cannot just stop what they're doing with, you know, the multiverse and go somewhere else with it. No, they're going to stay full heart and head into it, and they're going to see the story, I believe, to the end. And I believe that the movies towards the end will all finally bring all of these things together. And from everything, from the old franchises to the new ones to the ones that are coming up, it'll be like one giant comic book movie, which I believe Disney is okay weaving the path very carefully, because, you know, obviously they're a business, they need to make money. They can't just produce shows that don't do anything for the money needle. And which leads me into Loki. Loki season 2, I just watched it right after Captain Marvel, or the Marvels. And I gotta say, man, I love the show. I loved it a lot. I'm just really bummed that might be the last we see of Loki until the very last seconds of whatever he's got left, you know, as a surprise cameo or an appearance from Marvel that they requested from him. I think this was it for Loki. You know, and I believe as him, as the actor Tom Hiddleston, I think you're okay with that being the end of his, you know, the end of his journey, so to speak. Because this is what it really felt like. I was like, I wanted so many things to happen. I wanted him to bust through and end up in a different universe. I wanted him to, like, meet Wolverine or come across, you know, Chris Hemsworth, that's Loki, in his Thor in another. I like anything like that, like some crazy ending. But they went for the more Hollywood ending, and that was, here's this man who wanted nothing more than to save his friends that he became friends with at the TVA, and, you know, the version of himself, Sylvie, who he ended up liking for a little bit. You know, and saving everybody that he met along the hallway and making something of himself that mattered, that he wasn't just a complete loser. And he is going to sit in a throne by himself for eternity and be what he says is the God that he was always supposed to be. And for all intents and purposes, he's just stuck there. If he goes, if he dies, or if he leaves the throne, the timeline branches are just going to die off. And I mean, so it just seemed like a farewell to Loki, you know, the character that we've come to love. And honestly, they brought along Sylvie just enough to where I believe Sylvie could take over his role as the Loki in the movie, or it'll be Sylvie. And again, Kang, Jonathan Majors, nailed his role. There's no more villainous role. His dialogue with Loki was fantastic, man. I mean, it was fantastic. You got to be a fool to believe that Marvel is going to just drop Jonathan Majors off at the next bus stop. You got to be a fool to believe that. When to me personally, Jonathan Majors is like the highlight of some things, and I believe a definitely a Kang movie should be in the works like ASAP. I know the Kang Dynasty is coming, but I think I'm actually this is already like the second or third or fourth version of Kang that has met defeat. But as he said, there's an endless variations of him in what the opened up timeline. It is now going to come. The multiverse war is going to come, and I believe the Kangs are going to come to fucking destroy everything. And I hope so. We want some rated R shit. We want, obviously the Avengers movies themselves are going to be rated PG-13, but they can at will just collapse and kill off characters left and right. There's ways to do it. Again, the Loki series was phenomenal. I just was like, I've been a fan of Loki since he first came out. I truly believe they nailed his role to the fucking dot, to the T. I can't see another Loki. I really can't. Like, he is Loki. Tom Hiddleston is Loki. That's not his defining role. But it is the role that I think he's going to stick. It's going to stick with him for a while, and I believe that eventually, 20, 30 years from now, we look back at an incredible role. I mean, that he played. It's gonna. And this was his send-off. I think Marvel was like, okay, you've done phenomenal work for us. If you choose to come back, we would appreciate it at any given time. Gave you two phenomenal seasons. You starred in a bunch of movies alongside other great characters and actors. And we're gonna give you the send-off if you should choose, because actors do choose to take the bow out and move on. And I believe that's what's happening here. I believe we'll get a cameo or two later, or maybe some voice acting later. Or perhaps even just a little bit of screen time, maybe reunite with Thor. But I do believe that the Loki character will be out of the movies for some time. Much like Iron Man is out of the movies for some time. I just believe that was Loki's fate. And while it does bum me, I'm okay with what they did with it. The show was great. Victor Timely, Jonathan Majors. I can't believe they did Ravonna dirty like that, and they sent her to go fight Eliot. But it leaves the book open for what's going to happen with, Renslayer right there. And as the case is in this show in particular, Miss Minutes is a character. I've heard rumors that Miss Minutes and Mobius would end up in the Deadpool universe, but we'll see how true that is. Maybe we're gonna get a variant of them both. Who knows? But what I can tell you is this. If that is the end of the Loki series at two seasons, it was a great, very good two seasons. It's probably one of my easily one of the my favorite one. Of the Marvel projects. And Moon Knight is up there as well. I've watched Werewolf by Night in color, and I thought the color was better than the black and white. The black and white was good. But to getting to see Elsa, and I just been playing snap, and again, Elsa Bloodstone and her abilities and everything. And it's just like, okay, they finally got some more. Actually, there's a lot in the Werewolf by Night. They had the man thing, obviously, the werewolf, Elsa Bloodstone. I mean, see, that little special presentation had a lot in it, packed into a tight 45 or 50 minute thing. And again, Marvel was very smart in doing that too. But yeah, Loki is over. And it seemed like Loki himself, the character, is going to be shelved for some time. We will see. We'll see what happens, won't we? But with that said, I'm gonna end this podcast or stop it right here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more. We're going to the show right now, or going to the concert right now. So we will be back in here shortly. Hang tight. All right. So, as is the case with you guys, I'm back. And, you know, we give it to you raw. Straight out the fucking, out the mosh pit. All right, so I came to see Ymir, Body Snatcher. We came as Romans was the headliner. I just left right now. I just fucking dipped. They're not even playing yet. I didn't even stay to wait to see them play. I should have, but nah. Let me go home, get some sleep. You know, call it a night, sort of early. That's a good thing when the main band is a band that you don't even want to see, but all the other bands are sort of good. Or good. And as was the case, Body Snatcher by Ymir is like a solid hour of fucking fight mosh, which is what I came to expect from this crowd and from this this lineup. So let's get into it. So I was not on the fences about coming because I went to the Raider game last weekend and I was like, I just listened to like all the songs that I like from Ymir. Solo Flare, Homicide, Shinjuku Master Lord, Flag of the Beast, When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong, Children of Cybertron, Nemesis. Oh, there's a bunch of them. And I threw those on. I don't think they played anything off their new shit that I can tell, because I listened to their new shit like 3 or 4 times during. Their songs are kind of identifiable, but I didn't hear any. But as is the case, they played like several songs that I do know, and I was like, and I have, okay, so on the way to Vegas, I was bumping Body Snatcher. I was like, yes, like, kind of hype. It's gonna be a Friday night. Just really depended on work. If I was gonna work Saturday, if I had to go to Palm Springs, I mean, I had a lot of what ifs, maybe, leading up to it. And really, I started honing in on coming since, like, yesterday, the day before, like, Thursday, maybe Wednesday night. I was like, okay, this is doable. I can go and see the show. Like, hey, you know, I wasn't really expecting to come and, like, you know, rawr, fucking go crazy. But, I mean, you know, I just do it anyways. I mean, the crowd was kind of into it. There was a little bit of fighting going on. I mean, I think Ymir and Body Snatcher kind of invoke elements of, like, metal plus rock plus, like, alt-pop plus deathcore plus... So there's, like, 17 different genres in, like, one band in Ymir. And obviously, everybody, like, people want to circle pit. People want to fucking push pit. People want to fucking... crowd kill, people want to fucking push each other, people want to fucking crowd surf. I mean, inevitably, somebody's going to get caught some way, somebody's going to get pushed and take it offensively, and that's kind of what happened a little bit. Not to say that that was happening all night, but it did happen about 3 or 4 times that I seen, and I was like, okay. But let me back it up. So, going to Vegas, I was like, you know what, I'm thinking about it, because I haven't seen Ymir in a long time, and it would be just fun to go see him again. And I was thinking maybe bringing somebody, but then, I'm like, nah. So, I mean, everything was up in the air. Today being Friday, November the 10th, I got home at about 2:30, and I was like, first things first, let me check to see if there's tickets. And then I checked to see if there's tickets. Nothing said sold out. Tickets for $30 came out to like $40 with the taxes. And I was like, all right, $40, I'll go. Like, let me just grab a ticket. It's probably like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I grabbed the ticket. I was like, okay, I know where they're playing. They're playing the Glass House, and I know, or not the Glass House, the Fox Theater in Pomona is right next door to the Glass House. I know who's playing. The only thing I don't know is what time. So I was thinking like this shit was gonna pop off at like 6. But then I looked and it was like 8 o'clock is gonna go off, which is really a weird time for a concert to start It's just really, really weird time. Like, they should have started at maybe like a 6 or 7. But nonetheless, I was like, okay, well, they're going to start at 8. So I ended up just relaxing until like about 5:30 at my house. Got ready real quick, and I was like, all right, let me go fucking drive over to Puma. I was thinking, you know what, maybe it's at 8, but maybe like they'll have a little local band like pop in at like 7. You know, maybe I'm missing something here. So I got to Pomona about 6:30. And I was looking at the line. And actually, I got here a little bit early because last time they fucked me on the floor kind of situation. When I came to see Knock Loose like a while back, like you had to be one of the first people in line to get a little floor wristband, which was kind of, I guess, dumb. But I guess it made sense because everybody would be crowded in the bottom. But whatever. I was like, damn, I really wanted to see, like, you know. So I ended up, like, I right on the dot at 7. I was like, let me go wait in line. They were like, you can just go in as long as you got your ticket. And did you get ID'd and this and that? And I was like, no, I'm not going to drink. They're like, you sure you're not going to get one beer? I'm like, nope. I don't really drink alcohol at shows because I kind of feel like if you go into drunk, you just, your equilibrium is a little bit off, and like your reaction time is delayed a little bit, and you're susceptible to getting caught slipping. Like, you could just, that's the easy way to get fucked up. Now, I know a lot of drunk metalheads, but I mean, running in a circle is not the greatest of moshing efforts. It just is not. It's a lot different when people are throwing blows, like crowd killing from every which direction and hitting you from every side and angle, front, back, forward, side, side, and on different levels, ribs, knees, back of the neck, forehead. I mean, when blows come in all over the place, like, it's just what it is. Like, it's a lot different than running in a circle. You know, okay, there's people behind you, there's people in front of you. Like, it's just what it is. Now, with all that said, I got in line. I got in, and the first band up, which I didn't even bother to, like, just even take a gander. Sometimes I do that. I'm like, oh, I know, like, two or three of the bands playing, but who's this other random band that they're playing with? Let me just take a quick peek, like a song or two. That's all I need, is a song or two to know, like, what it is they're playing, who they are, what style, and then it's whether or not I'm like, oh, that could be interesting. Then seeing them, seeing how good they play or how good they don't play. And you could tell some bands that you've never seen before, and like, they just get up there and they just, like, Kublai Khan was one of those bands. I had never seen them. I've heard of them. And then I seen them live and I was like, yo, holy shit. And they go ape shit crazy. Like, those are one of those bands. Like, there's a lot of bands that are like that. Like, Knock Loose. I heard about them. I took a gander at their album. And I was like, who the fuck is this really heavy band out of nowhere? And then I went to go see them and I was like completely, like, flabbergasted about how crazy the environment was. And the environment is insane. It's just fucking, at any Knock Loose show, since the first time I saw them in LA, I don't know where it was, somewhere in Hollywood. I went with my homie Vince, went to go see them with Terror and stuff. It was just insane. But I didn't even bother looking for I keep saying it's Architects Collide, but I think it's Archetypes. It's a really weird, like, it's really weird, like, archetype is not really a word that is used, and it's kind of Architects. But then that's kind of weird too. Like, what would the point be of Architects Collide? Like, what the fuck? They're drawing each other fucking skyscrapers on paper and they're fucking, like, dueling it out with graph paper. What, like, Architects Collide doesn't make sense either. They just got a kind of funky name, so I didn't even bother to listen to them. Now, I went to the show with an open mind. I'd never heard them. They could have been good, but they just weren't for me. They're kind of like a baby We Came as Romans, a lot of chanting parts to it, a lot of singing. They cover Linkin Park, not Crawling in My Skin. Shut Up When I'm Talking to You. I don't know what song that is off the top of my head. And I was like, okay, like that was the breadth of their. I mean, I'm sure they got loyal fans from wherever they're from. I'm sure they might even catch some traction because they play to a more general audience. One Step Closer to the Edge, I'm About to Break. That's a song they cover from Linkin Park. Which actually, I find that to be completely cool because I would never pay to see Linkin Park, now. I didn't pay to see them with Chester when he was alive. They were not on my radar bands to go see. I wouldn't see them now. I would not pay. Now, they are one of the bands that, I mean, who hasn't heard In the End, One Step Closer, Crawling in My Skin. I mean, they got a bunch of radio songs that I know, that I personally know, those are songs that I grew up with. If it was like a lineup, like for instance, if it was Korn was the main band, and then there was like Linkin Park, and then it was like Lamb of God and Hatebreed, and to open things up, the affair would be like, let's say, Ymir. If that was the bill, I would be like, yeah, I'll just watch. That'd be kind of cool to say I seen Linkin Park one time. Just like it would be cool if I seen Sublime one time, or No Doubt, or Red Hot Chili Peppers, or like Blink-182 or Green Day. Like I would never pay to see those bands. That'd be cool. Now, Archetypes Collide covers one song, and I was like, hey, that's kind of cool. Like the band is okay. I mean, they're not a cover band, but that's kind of a cool song to cover, I guess. I haven't seen anybody in all my years cover a Linkin Park song. It Once Up Closer has a breakdown in it randomly, so I mean, it makes a lot of sense for at a hardcore show. There's that hardcore element, that breakdown in the song that is kind of cool. And again, that's the breadth and life of Archetypes Collide. I mean, they have other songs that I don't know what they are. They're neither heavy nor are they completely soft. But I could see them going completely soft rock and ditching the hard shit. So I know they're faking the flavor. They're not all of a sudden going to turn into a deathcore band. They're not all of a sudden going to go heavier and turn into the next Ymir. They're just not. But you could just see it. That band is not going to be that band. That I'm going to be like, you know what? I completely misjudge them. I'll put it right now. I might not ever see Archetypes Collide again, but I guarantee you they go softer. I almost guarantee that shit. 99% sure that they're going to come out with a very pop album down the road. And they might actually even enjoy some success off of it. I mean, maybe they'll get a song that everybody knows. I mean, I don't know. But anyways, that was them. I mean, I don't really want to rate the band. I don't really care. Now, I have to tell you this. When I walked up, I was like, damn, there's gonna be nobody at this motherfucker, man. Like a whole whopping 50 people were inside. And maybe 100. It might have been. But I mean, it was no more than that. I was like, fuck, man. Here I come all the way out to Pomona. Just. It really sucks when it's like a band you like and you go see them at a little joint and there's like 20 people there and you're like, fuck. I feel like, sort of like, the intimacy is there. Like, ooh, you get to be up close and personal with the man and the songs you like. But it's also like, damn, I'm the only one that likes this band. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, they couldn't get a couple more people to show up. And fortunately, as Archetypes Collide ended, Body Snatcher was up. And I was like, let's do this shit. Let's fucking get the fucking Body Snatch Bangers fucking set list on the way. And from there up until I just left about 10 minutes ago, actually like about 20 minutes ago now, because I've been talking for 15. It was a straight up fucking, it was mosh heaven. It was. The Body Snatcher, now I've now seen them like 4 times, and each time that I see them, I know every song a little bit better, and I'm getting the hang of all the lyrics in the song, like the black in my eyes, 1217, King of the Rats, Abandonment. I mean, there's a bunch of songs that I like from them now, and it's like, and I've listened to them, like The Heaviest Void. I've listened to them now, and I'm kind of like, okay, you know, they have other albums. I'm not gonna go back and listen. I mean, I did go back one time and listen to all their shit. But to me, the main thing that they sound better and better each time that they've played and I've watched. They just sound better. I don't know, maybe it's because they're now starting to catch a groove. Maybe they're adapting the different styles that they're already is within their music. Because they play a very deathcore vibe. A very fucking heavy bass vibe. But they also pick it up. The speed of it is just right now. Where the songs go by and then the heavy part is just fucking drop slow and nasty. You know, and then coming out of that, the up-tempo swings of their song, you know, the two-step parts kick in very nicely as well. Like, so again, I'm getting very used to the band. I'd love to see where the future takes them. They need to get on tour with, I believe this tour is a very good tour for them to get on. I know they were with Hatebreed. I seen them with Angel Maker, Paleface, but that was a little venue. Seen them somewhere else, and then I'm seeing them now, like, and this was a very good tour, because I think it's a bigger tour. They need like a couple of more bigger tours in support to build up their repertoire of Mosh Gang, and I think they need another record to come out, and then they could perhaps headline like the Glass House, the Fox Theater itself, and what have you. And I gotta say, Body Snatcher was the shit. I mean, I love me some Body Snatcher. And then it was over. They said they were playing for like about 25, 30 minutes. And it was done. Now, again, what the concert started at 8. It is now at 10:18. And I'm already on my way. I'm almost home, actually. The Fox Theater is not far from my home. But the in between the sets was only like about 10 minute between the bands. Now, I mean, I'm assuming We Came As Romans is on right now, but I didn't stay at all. I didn't want to stay. I mean, I would stay to see We Came As Romans if they were before a band that I wanted to see. Fortunately for me, they're headlining this tour, and I knew that coming into this. I knew most likely I was going to leave. We Came As Romans is just not my cup of tea. They have like 2 sort of heavy songs, and the rest are just kind of like, eh. They're not my brand. I mean, I don't like Dance Gavin Dance. I don't like We Came As Romans. I don't like Icy Stars. I don't like Falling In Reverse. I don't like, you know, I don't like that type. And that is a type. It's a very, very popular type. For whatever reason, it reaches like, I don't know if it's it reaches girls, but it just reaches a larger audience. And I'm like, what the fuck are people listening to that makes, like, a band like, you know, any of these bands, like Dance Gavin Dance. What makes them so popular? And I just don't get it. Because, I mean, yeah, they have metal riffs, but then it's just like, there's a lot of singing in it. I mean, I don't know. Wage War tried it, went back to what worked. Well, let's see if they go back to what they thought was gonna work. You know, I don't know. But anyways, up was Ymir. Now, the last time I seen Ymir I seen them with Spite. There was somebody else before Spite. There was somebody else before Spite. Spite, Wage War, and then Ymir at the House of Blues in Anaheim some years ago. And I gotta tell you, like, not that I miss Ymir or that Ymir is some crazy, like, must-see band of all time. But, I mean, they have a lot of songs that I do like. I've grown up, you know, over the years listening to Ymir. You know, my brother was a bigger, way bigger fan, Ymir fan than I am. But I've listened to, like, you know, the Respect Issue. I've listened to Felony. I've listened to, like, Speaker of the Dead, Eternal Enemies, or whatever that was. The other one I didn't really, there's one in there. It might be Nemesis. The, like, one of the albums, and then the newest one. There's a few albums in there that, like, I didn't really listen to, but I heard songs from. And honestly, like, I know what to expect now from an Ymir show. Over the years, I've seen them off and on. I've seen Ymir a lot for not, like, they're not on my bands that I listen to regularly. And then they dropped that album. It might be Eternal Enemies, which probably is my favorite song from them that they've ever written. Shinjuku Master Lord is probably one of the most creative songs that that band has ever put out. I don't know, just like the lyrics to it hit, the music behind it hits. The creativity, because there's like a rap chorus in there. The vocals hit. I mean, Frankie's a very talented artist as well. Like, he may have a lot of faults, and his band may always never be a band that you can fully put your chips into, because they do random shit and then they go on. It's like the second long hiatus that they dipped out, like, don't tour. There was a time there I was telling my brother, yeah, hey, fucking Ymir does never play with any good bands. Like, what the fuck? They're always on some bullshit ass tour. And so I didn't see them probably for like 3 or 4 years in a row. And they would actually come around, and my brother wouldn't go see them either. And then, like, finally they went on tour after they had their little beef with the Occasion. I was like, let's go see Ymir. Like, this show sounds like it's gonna bang. And it banged. The Occasion strength bangs in general. And then you couple them with Ymir. Those two bands are just wild, straight bangers. Like, they're just good bands, like, to be together. I don't know if they would ever tour together again, but, you know, whatevers. Ymir stays heavy. For whatever reason, that band, you think that they're not heavy and that they kind of want to be rappers and they kind of want to do new metal, but Frankie immediately drags them to the straight fucking chuggy chug chugs. And, you know, to open with Shinjuku Master is a song that I've fucking been, since they released that album, like, 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whenever they released it, I was like, yo, they have songs on this album that, like, there's a couple of them, the Gucci Prison. There's a lot. There's like 4 songs that I actually haven't listened to it for a while, because I just don't listen to it. You know, it's been a while. They've been MIA for like 4 or 5 years almost. Anyways, Shinjuku Master Lord is like one of my, and they open with that shit. Like, how that band is absolutely crazy the fuck out of their minds, bro. They want to bring a fucking fight from the jump. That tickles I don't know what it does to me, but I could just comfortably just enjoy fucking that element of brutality. Like, I mean, if you're out there in podcast land, just go out there, get into your car, get in your, the loudest headphones in your fucking, that you can get your Beats, whatever, and fucking put on Shinjuku Master at like one volume below max volume and just fucking let the beat just fucking hit you. It's what is there some of their best sounding music that they've ever made. Like, they got out of the little bit of the kind of like the staticky, you know, like a lot of China cymbal, and they went to more of like bass driven, but they still had elements of that old shit. It just is, it's a good song, you know. And then they played Flag of the Beast at some point in the set, and I was like, yes, Flag of the Beast, baby. They played Solar Flare, Homicide, again, Children of Cybertron, Nemesis, When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong. There's a couple other ones that I just can't think of the names right off the top of my head. Yeah, I mean, it was a wild affair. And now, if I was with somebody, if I was like completely out of breath, if I didn't have to piss, I was going to take a piss in there. I was going to hang out a little bit. But I just seen We Came as Romans, and I was thoroughly unimpressed. And so it is like 10:30 now, and I'm like, oh, let me just go home. Let me just go home. What I gotta prove at a We Came as Romans show? I'm not on a date. You know, and We Came as Romans does not move the needle for me one bit. It just doesn't. And they just don't. So I left. But Emir bangs. And they fucking slap hard as fuck. And it's just one of them things where, like, you gotta take a look at yourself. If you're a metal person, you just gotta take a look at yourself and tell yourself and ask yourself, if you are a metal person, there is a sharp contrast between Emir and We Came as Romans. And you have to ask yourself, if you're a true metal fan, like, what band is better? It should be an all-day Emir. And at that point, the show is over. You know what I mean? You just have to ask yourself, why would I stay to watch We Came as Romans? There's no point. So now I'm almost home, actually. Overall, Archetypes Collide. It might be your band if you like We Came as Romans. If you like Icy Stars and Dance Gavin Dance and Tillian and a bunch of other motherfuckers like that, Attila. I like Chris Franzilla because that guy's funny. He's social media. Him himself as a social media person is great. His music, not so great. I have never even seen Attila. And again, they're not a band I actively seek out. They don't play with anybody that I would want to actually watch with. I mean, Attila, the only way Attila's going to get my dollars and my money, they need to take Knock Loose, Lauren Ashore, and Kublai Khan on the road. And then I'm like, yes, I will watch the whole show. Yes, that is something I will fucking spend money on. Touring with bands that nobody fucks with on the regular is not the shit. We Came as Romans is not the shit either. Like, again, I'm a metalhead. I'm a hardcore dude. I'm a fucking metalcore man. Whatever you want to put it as. I wish I could just grab a guitar, grab a microphone, grab a drummer, and fucking bang out the heaviest fucking music there was. And I'd put the whole scene on blast. Unfortunately, for my case, that's not my lot in life. But I don't need to spend no money on bullshit bands. And I know the bullshit bands. I'm not going to stream Steam Token either. I'm not going to buy any fucking merch from them. They're going to have to milk the fans that they've convinced. They will have to milk them dry because they'll never get a penny from me. And that's ultimately how I rebel against the mainstream Like, Slipknot doesn't get no more streams for me. No more cheap streams, no. Again, Slipknot has tarnished their legacy so bad. And I want to talk about that for a brief moment. A while ago, I told you guys, fucking Slipknot, it's time to put them in a body bag. But hold on, but let me, before I do that, Archetypes Collide, that's so, they're like 5 out of a 10 for me. They don't move the needle for me. Maybe they move the needle for you. Body Snatcher, again, played like a 9 out of a 10 set. A lot of good songs. Ymir, another 9 out of 10. I mean, the only thing I wish is they played a little bit longer. I wish they would have added, like 4 more or 5 more songs that, you know, that are bangers that I like. But I'll settle for what they gave me. That 10 out of 10, I haven't seen them in such a long time. It was like a breath of fresh air just like hearing some of their songs. Like, again, like, it's like, wow, I have not heard Ymir in so long or seen Ymir in so long to the point where, you know, I'm just right here like, damn, Ymir killed it. Now, segueing back to Slipknot, we need to kill Slipknot once and for all. We need to kill Corey Taylor. And perhaps I'm hearing now Clown. I beg of the rest of the members, the other 7 or 6 members, 4, 5 members, however many OG members are left, put those two in a fucking body bag and bury their fucking ass, man. If you, in case you haven't heard, Slipknot fired their drummer, Jay Weinberg. I don't know where he's from. They just shit canned him. Okay, what does that got to do with me? If you look online, you look at the posts, and you look at the comments, and you just watch, you can see how distraught the Slipknot fans are over it, and how much they're trying to flame the band. And I myself have been at that for such a long fucking time now that it's like, holy shit, Slipknot really needs to be put in the body bag. Again, there's a lot of money on the line for a lot of bands, but this is heavy metal, motherfucker. Somebody needs to take the fucking knife and cut the head off of that motherfucker, man. That needs to happen. While they remain in the stratosphere of the metal world, soaking up money left and right, somebody, any fucking body with a pair of fucking balls and nuts, call that band out. And, you know, again, if I was in a band, I would be on Jamie Johnson's podcast right now, fucking telling him, hey, Jamie Johnson, sing me one motherfucking song from that new album that they put out. Go on live. Tell me the name of a fucking song on that album. How does it even go? I even give you a solid. Go to the last album before that, The Great Chapter. Or We Are Not Your Kind. Sing one fucking song off that piece of shit album. It is a piece of shit. The newest album they have is a piece of shit. They're fucking wasting the talents of people. They've kicked out Joey Jordison. Probably from what I'm going to just go on a wild hypothesis. He probably was like, hey, this is fucking bullshit that we're putting out. I don't agree with it. I don't want to be a part of it. Or, you know, this is dumb. Or, you know, like, there's no voice of reason in that band anymore. And Corey Taylor pisses me off by each and every day. Like, and I know the internet is like, well, you know, they're finally catching up. And I think I'm in the midst. I said a while ago, fuck Corey Taylor. The album they put out was Sorry. I never want to listen to it again. I probably said that way earlier this year. If it was not last year, I made a TikTok about 5-6 months ago too, during the summer, hearing about how Slipknot will never die because it's something in the heart and it's something that you need to feel. Motherfucker, Slipknot has no heart no more. whatever the fuck they're doing to that band is out. They're destroying. And it's cool. I look at Corey and I look at, and now I guess I'm looking at Clown, the direction of the band, and that them two are killing it, killing the band, which, again, I mean, more power to them for, doing what they feel is right, but they are killing the band. And the fact that nobody in the metal community is saying anything about it speaks to a larger problem that money and, the ass kissing that is going on in metal is at a fucking gino it's at a monumental fucking mountain of horse shit in the metal, and it's actually affecting the community, the metal community. Like, you just don't see it, like how bad it is. It's bad. It's bad out there. It's really bad. Metal cannot be taken serious with these fucking clowns, literal clowns, fucking running the shit. Like, you just can't take it serious. There's no difference between a fucking We Came As Romans and a fucking, like a random ass pop band. The only difference is the fucking heavy drums and the heavy bass behind it. Dance Gavin Dance is one fucking acoustic guitar away from being fucking Shawn Mendes or who the fuck Charlie Puth. Like, that's what it is. And I blame, again, I blame a lot of blame go I goes to Slipknot. And actually, I'm glad to see that the internet is now finally, Slipknot is a few bad moves away from the internet and the whole entire metal community from eating them alive. And I want to throw the fucking, I want to add gasoline to the fire, because that is a band that I cared so much about when I was younger, that I invested so much of my time, I spent a lot of money on. As a kid, you buy CDs, $15 CDs was not cheap. I bought it numerous times because shit gets scratched and I wanted to listen to it. IO was one of my favorite albums of all time. It has since fallen from grace, probably out of the top 10, because it is no longer what Joey Jordison considered the heaviest album of all time. This is by far not the heaviest. It's a complete album, but it is not the heaviest, but it is Slipknot's crown jewel. And it's dusty. It's been fucking pissed on and fucking it's dusty. And this latest shit about him firing Jay Weinberg or whatever his name is, yeah, I mean, it's just a bunch of bullshit, man. It's whatever. As this night ends, I'm gonna end this episode here. I'm gonna get it posted up. I don't know what the next episode's going to be yet. Maybe I'll finish off Demon Slayer finally. I have no concerts coming yet. I do go. Thanksgiving is quickly approaching. It's fast approaching, as some of you may know. It's coming. Today was actually Veterans Day of all days. And actually, I'm a veteran mosher, so I mean, it's my day in theory. But as you guys may know, Thanksgiving is coming up. I'm going to go to the Vegas game right after Thanksgiving to go watch them play the Chiefs. I got Godzilla coming up after that, -1 on December 1. And there's a concert I may go to on December 2. I may go see Dying Wish because that album is fucking phenomenal. I'm completely blown away by Dying Wishers. Watch My Promise Die has got to be like one of the best songs that has been written musically and lyrically, probably in fucking, I don't know. That band should deserves to go through the roof now. And also, did you see Megan Thee Stallion and Spirit Box collab in some fucking wild ass, track? Truly, we're living in the we're. I feel like I'm living in some sort of a variation of a fucking real world simulation that isn't the one I grew up in. But whatever. I'm out. I'll catch you guys on the next one. Stay safe out there, guys. Laters.